How's everybody today? All right, great. You sure? Okay. Because I'll be here for the next 9 hours, okay? Some of your kids will have beards and stuff. No, I'm only kidding. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I might notice that Elaine wasn't here early. Okay? Did you notice? See, Josh ain't here, so I got to pick up the slack. You know what I mean? Because that's my brother and that's my sister. Amen? So, you know, you tell on her a little bit. I'm sure you'll hear it. But, it's good to be involved in God's work. Amen? Even though we come to this church and, you know, we praise God and we do the things that we do, we have to understand that Jesus did give us a great commission. Amen? It's found in Matthew 28. And I always ask people, if the commission is so great, then why ain't we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Amen? And there's many reasons to it and many reasons why. And, you know, when Josh was speaking last week, you know, it really touched me about, you know, what he was talking about. He's talking about the currency of our life is our time, you know, and God gives us all time. God gives us all ample time. But the thing of it is we manage a lot of things, but we don't know how to manage our time. And one of the things that he spoke about was in Psalms 90:12, where even Moses even prayed, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Yeah. You know, Jesus' disciples, you know, one of the things about following Christ is, you know, they got to see him up close and personal and was able to see Jesus the way he ministered, see the way that he did everything that he did. But one of the things, even though they seen all the great miracles, the people being healed, the sick, you know, being healed, you know, the lame walking, the people can't hear, can hear, and the dumb can speak and everything. You know, it always amazed me that one of the things that they asked Jesus was, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they knew whatever Jesus did, when he came out of the situations and circumstances with the Father, the time with the Father, that he came out in power. And I want to encourage everybody, you know, that your prayer life means something. All right? Because you're going to go through situations and circumstances just because you identify with Christ. And as Stacy was speaking, we're going to give, as a matter of fact, come on, girl. Stacy's home from India. All right? Go ahead. I won't steal your thunder. Okay. Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you. I just got back from Nepal and India. It was an awesome but very, very hard trip. It was exciting. I lived in a postcard. Literally every day I just walked out and looked at the Himalayan mountains and thought, wow, it doesn't even seem real. It was like living in a dream. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. It was very exciting. I kind of did pre-trip of what our missions trip. It was a recon trip, which means we go out and we meet new pastors in new areas and find out if they have the same vision as we do, that we can work with them and reach unreached groups. We went up into the Himalayan mountains in Nepal, and there are so many people up in these mountains that have never even heard of Jesus. They don't have TV. They live up in the snow, and when they go to sleep, they have blankets that are this thick. And they pile three of them on them to keep themselves warm. I know that India, when you think of it, you think of a very hot country, but there are also parts of it that are very cold, too. And we were also in the Himalayas in India. The people face the same things that we do. They have family problems. They have relational problems. They have different things, and just like the Midwest deals with tornadoes, people out here deal with landslides. When it rains, when it snows, anytime they can have a little landslide with maybe one or two rocks falling down on the road, or they can have a huge landslide that'll come down and wipe out a whole city, a whole village. It is phenomenal that no matter where you go, people are always facing the same thing. We always have to trust in God for our provision. We always have to trust in God for our safety. And we have to have a peace. We have to be able to walk in a peace and a joy. God wants his kingdom to be in our life now. Amen. To for us to be able to share the love of God, to share the joy of God. And if you don't have it in your heart, spend that time, like Elaine was talking, spend that time in the secret place. Just take a few minutes every day and just come before God and just say, God, show me who you are. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to know. Show me what you want me to be to my family, what you want me to be to my neighbors, what you want me to be to the city, because we're all called to reach out to someone. If you're shy, you may think, oh, I could never get up in front of people. But you can talk to the person that you work with. You can be an encouragement. You can show Jesus' love to the cashier as you're going through. You don't have to be all hurried and upset. You can just share God's love everywhere you go. And the only way that can happen is if you walk in God's love. And it's just like the eagles. The eagles, compared to other birds, are not afraid of the winds and the rain and all those things. But they use those same scary winds to rise up above their circumstances, to look all these things in the face and say, I'm gonna soar over it. I'm going to go higher. And as Elaine said, we are thrill seekers, but it does help to have a little bit of that in you because there's always some kind of excitement. In 25 days, I went on 9 planes, 4 car rides. 2 of them were 2 hours. 2 of them were 4 hours. And the 4-hour rides were so windy that the car ahead of us, this lady was just hanging out the window. I'm serious. It was just so, so windy. She couldn't handle it at all. But that wasn't in our car. I went on 2 bus rides, 1 11 hours, 1 14 hours. They stopped once to go to the bathroom. That's a long time. I went on a 30-hour train ride, and that doesn't include all the shuttles, taxis, auto rickshaws, and other things, modes of travel, hiking, whatever. It was exciting. It was the most exciting trip, the hardest trip, but it was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. It wasn't on my bucket list to go to the Himalayan mountains, but a long time ago, I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And that's not always an easy thing to do. It's not always an easy thing to say. But when he's your cruise director, you get to go to the Himalayan mountains. So God bless you.
Amen. 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 We thank you. Let me just pray. Eternal Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, I just pray that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to use me to speak to your people, oh God. Just strengthen me right now to do what you have asked me to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So just getting back just a little bit to reiterate, you know, some of the things that Josh was talking about last week about time, the things that really touched me, and how Jesus gave 100% of everything that he had, that the Father had given him to do. All right. And as we look as, you know, the people of God, we can't pick and choose what we want to do when we say yes to the Lord. We have to be all in. We have to be all out with everything. Because there's no 50-50 in the kingdom. We have to give all to God. Amen? Because if we truly believe that our lives are not our own, all right? I know we sing that song, my life is not my own, to you I belong, and we go crazy. We go in on that one. Here I am. But is that truly in our hearts, what we truly believe, that our lives are not our own? Because from God's perspective, that's the way he looks at each and every one of us. He looks at each and every one of us as a disciple of Jesus Christ without a title or without anything else. Amen? And I know a lot of times in the Christian culture or whatever, we think that it's the job of the pastor, it's the job of the evangelist, it's the job of this one, it's the job of that one to minister, but that's not the truth, all right? It's for everyone who says they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in here believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then it's your job too. And you don't have to necessarily do it the way I do it. You don't have to do it the way the pastors do it or anybody else does it. You do it the way that God gave it to you to do it. But the thing of it is that we have to do it. It's a mandate. The Great Commission is a mandate given to the church of the living God. Amen? We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. Our God is still alive. All right? He ain't in no grave. All right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I just want to read a little bit from, you ain't got to turn there, from Mark 16. All right? Because Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, that you will cast out demons, you will speak in new tongues, that they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. All right? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you see anywhere in there of anybody's title, pastor, evangelist, bishop, so-and-so, deacon? No. It says to him who believes.
That's right.
To him who believes. See, whatever we're going to do in the Lord is about what we believe. That's all it takes, is your belief system of who you are and what you are. Because everything that Jesus did is enough. That cross is enough for you to do exactly what God designed you to do. Peter says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing that God has left out in your life. Absolutely nothing for you to do what God is asking us to do, except for a will that's going to say, no, I don't want to do it. It's not that you can't do. It's not a question of that whether you can or you can't do it. It's the question of, will you do it?
That's right.
That is the question. All right? And I want to go to Romans 12. All right? You got that? Okay, let's go. Romans 12. All right? This is, God's been doing a new thing ever since that New Year's Eve thing that we had. They put me on the spot to speak. And ever since then, God's been doing a new thing in my life. And this is my scriptures for the year. All right? Everybody, you need to find something. Find something in God's word. All right? Now, this is the one he gave to me. I don't know what he's going to give to you. All right? But this is Paul, the apostle, who is writing to the church in Rome. All right? And this is one of the greatest theological essays you could say. All right? Theology is just the study of God. Okay? Don't let that word scare you. All right? That's all theology is. It's just the study of God. All right? So Paul was writing to the church, one of the greatest theological essays or dissertations, however you want to put it, all right, to the church. All right? Now, these two verses, it says, I beseech you. Yeah, there you go. All right? Because I want you to see what I'm reading. A lot of times it adds volume, okay? Because you can see it, you read it, and guess what? Now you got to do it. That's why I'm doing this, okay? He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, all right, that you, all right, present your body, all right, personal pronoun, you, yours, all right? He's not talking about the person sitting next to you, he's talking about your mother, your brother, your father. He's talking to you as an individual. See, a lot of times we look at the church as a whole, which we should, because we are collectively one body, but there are times that you have to look at yourself, all right? Because you wouldn't want that Adam and Eve syndrome. When God showed up and Adam said, no, that woman you gave me. That's the reason why. And then Eve said, no, that serpent. See, we always like to excuse ourselves from the responsibility of being who we are supposed to be in Christ. Amen? So he says that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That word holy, God is holy. You know what that means? That God is separate. God is separate from evil. God is separate from sin. God is separate from everything that you see in this earth. That's what makes him God and makes us who we are. All right? He said that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Everything that we do, even everything that we do in this church, is not acceptable to God. We have to find out what is acceptable to him, and that's what we give to him. And if you don't believe me, that's what happened with Cain and Abel. See, because Cain bought whatever he wanted to bring. See, Abel bought what God required, and it was God that said that his sacrifice was righteous before him, and that's how Cain got ticked off and killed his brother. Amen? So these are the things that we have to understand. And do not be conformed to this world. All right? Conformed. Yielding. Being shaped into the model. Into the mold of this world. That's not what God wants us to do. All right? We have to be different. He said, and being transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there must be something about the acceptable things of God, and he would not put it twice in two verses. Amen? There's something about doing the acceptable things of God. But you see, if we don't change our mindset about who God is, about what sin is, and about what this world is, we're never going to be able to carry out the things that God wants us to carry out.
That's right.
Because, see, it's not just Josh and his four elder children, Xavier, Jeremy, that are going. See, God wants us all to go, all right? But we all don't have to go across the waters, all right? There's some of you right here that need to just go next door, all right? There's some of you in here that just need to look in the bed at the person next to you and speak to that one.
Amen.
Or them kids that eat at your table and need to speak to that one. See, because when Jesus told his disciple to go into Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power from on high. See, because there's nothing in this earthly realm that's going to be put on you that's going to enable you to do what God is asking us to do. Amen? God has to put his hand on you. God has to put his spirit on you in order for you to do what God has called us to do. But he said, once you receive that power, he said, go into Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then all the other parts of the earth. Amen? Jerusalem is the people that you're closest to, your family, your friends, your children. Your loved ones, that's your Jerusalem, your Judea, your neighborhood, your job, those you come in contact with. And Samaria, and you know, could be your cousins in New York or somebody. All right? Then the uttermost parts of the earth. But I want to show you something else here before we get to presenting our bodies as living sacrifice. You got that 11:33 there, brother? Is it behind me? Listen to what he says, because, see, Dan was talking earlier about sometimes we read scripture, but we have to embrace the whole counsel of God, that we might have to move up a little bit or we might have to go back a little bit. And in this one, we have to go back a little bit, because if we're going to do what Paul is explaining to the church to do in verses 1 and 2, then you got to read chapters 1 through 11. Then this is going to mean something to you. All right. Listen to what he says. He says, oh, the depths of the riches of both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unfathomable, how unscrupulous, how unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, how untraceable. Mysterious and undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, and his path. Do you notice where Paul is putting their focus? On him. And the reason why we can't do what we do is because we so focus on everything else and we ain't focused on him. See, once we put our focus on him, everything else comes into perspective. Because it is his methods, it is his ways, and it is his path that as believers, that's the way we're supposed to walk. That's the way we're supposed to walk. Because if my life is not my own, and my life has been bought with the price that I could never, ever pay, then therefore I owe it to the one who paid the price for me. I owe it to the one who took my place when I deserved hell, death, and the grave. Amen? So that's why we have to understand that the only way that this transformation is going to come, because see, Paul is talking about the wisdom of divine purposes. These verses here through 33 through 36. He said, for who has known the mind of God, the mind of the Lord, and who has understood his thoughts, and who has ever been his counselor? The answer is nobody. All right? That's the answer. Or who has first given anything to God that we might pay back, or that he could claim recompense? Nobody again. Now listen, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. For all things originate with him, come from him, all things live through him, all things are centered in him, and tend to consummate and end in him by the glory of God. Amen. So be it. Every time you say amen, you know what you're saying? So be it, God. So be it, God. Whatever that preacher's saying, so be it in my life. So therefore, you better check your amen. Because the day you say so be it to God, you might be caught up, but God says, okay, they done signed the check. Here it comes. All right? That's why you got to be careful in praise and worship when you start dancing around and jumping around and say, here I am, Lord. Send me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Send me. All right? And then 4 months go by, and God says, okay, buy a plane ticket. You're going to India. You're going to Africa. But why? But remember you said, here I am, send me. Right? Because we have to understand, if we're going to do exactly what Paul is saying to do in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you have to understand, he's talking about Christians' duties of a surrendered life. Are you willing to surrender your life to the cause and to the purposes of God? Or am I somebody just like to come to church, all right, every Sunday, get my praise on, see my sisters and brother, get a little hug, talk a little bit of something, and then go home, all right, because I'm going to fuss a little bit right now, because I seen that email that we need help out there in the clothing trailer. This church is too big for us to need help anywhere. This church is too big for them to be sending out, we need volunteers in that COVID trailer. Said, we need volunteers out there in that food pantry. No, we don't. We got enough volunteers who said yes to Jesus that should be signed and asking Bruce and Linda, where do I serve? Because Jesus gave us the mandate to serve. Jesus gave us what we should do. The King of Glory humbled himself, washed the disciples' feet, saying that if I be your Lord and wash your feet, then you all do the same thing that I'm doing. See, because you don't have to find places to minister. That clothing trailer is a place to minister. You got clothes, they don't. You got food, they don't. And you got Jesus, and they don't. You understand what I mean? But if you're not willing, like Paul said, to present your body as a living sacrifice, you have to understand, this is the man that persecuted the church like no other man in history. Here's a man who had an encounter with the living God, which I call a hostile takeover. Yeah. All right? Because Jesus knocked him off his high horse. And if he has to, he'll knock you off your high horse. Because he had a work to do and we got a work to do. If you think that we're going to have a 500 to 700 people church and you ain't going to be involved, there's a problem. Because it's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. Because this is a God thing. It ain't a Josh thing. It ain't a John thing. It ain't a Chris thing. It ain't a Dan thing. It ain't a Lane thing. It's a God thing. Please understand that. Because my Bible says that when he comes, the Holy Spirit, that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If every preacher in the world stop preaching, guess what? People are still going to get saved. God just wants you to be part of the process. Amen? But you've got to be willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice. See, and this is going to be bring a change. He's talking about transformation. All right? Transformation is a metamorphosis. Okay? It's a caterpillar going to a butterfly. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to change everything about you. But see, it starts right here in your mind. Everything God is talking about, it starts in your mind. He's saying here, listen, I'm reading the Amplified. Don't be conformed to this world, this age. Fashioned after and adapted to its eternal, its external, superficial customs. See, because that's the problem with the world. That's why some people got so low self-esteem. Because I don't look like them bombshells on the magazines I go through the checkout to see. Come on now, let's be for real. Let's keep it real. Okay? And that's what Paul is saying. Don't be fashioned after this world. Who cares if you got a $2,000 Armani suit? John the Baptist came in wearing camel's hair and eating locusts. It ain't about the clothes you got on. It's about the anointing that's inside of you. You understand that? That's what it's all about. See, we ain't supposed to fashion ourselves after all that foolishness. He called it external superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. He's not talking about one little part. Well, I think that's okay, and I'm going to do that. All right, this ain't pick and choose. This ain't the cafeteria. God don't need no cafeteria Christians going down the line, picking where I'm going to serve, where I ain't going to serve, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to. Are you all in or ain't you all in? Because Jesus was all in when he said it is finished. So we got to make a decision whether I'm going to be all in. Amen? So he says, do not be conformed, but be ye transformed by the entire renewing of your minds. There's by its new ideals. Ideals are concepts, goals, models, and prototypes. Kill a prototype of who you used to be. All right? You are no longer the captain of the football team. All right? Get over yourself. There's somebody else leading you. You ain't leading him. All right? There's a new model that has to be seen in your life. Not that same old guy that used to be. And then he says, not only our new ideas, but our new attitudes, our new natures, our new feelings, our new opinions, our new viewpoints. See, that's the problem sometimes, that I got my opinion and the way that I think. But guess what? God got an opinion and the way that he thinks. All right? And he's looking for us to line up with the way that he thinks. Because once we line up with the way that he thinks, that there are going to be things that you've been praying for years that's going to change in your life. Because now you are finally lined up with what he is saying, as opposed to what you're saying, as opposed to your opinion to it, and opposed to my viewpoint to it. Amen? Because see, one thing you got to understand, you are righteous because of Jesus. If you're here coming to church because of anything other than that I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing it. If you're showing up for any other reason other than that you're in love with Jesus, you're missing the point. That's what Paul is telling the church. You are missing the point. He's the one that did it. He's the one that had the plan. He's the one that got salvation. He's the one that claimed you righteous. He's the one that claimed you sanctified. You ain't got to do nothing but believe it. Amen? That's all you got to do is believe it. That's all you got to do. The work is done. But see, until we ourselves lay it all down, stop all this striving because, oh, I didn't pray last night. Or I didn't, oh, I don't have a Bible reading program. Or I can't give. They're asking to give. I don't pay my tithes. I don't do all that. You think God's plan of salvation is going to stop because of what you don't do? See, that's the enemy just trying to make you feel guilty. If you can't right now, you can't. But when you can, obey and do what you got to do. See, because the blessings come for those who are obedient. All right? That's where God commands the blessing in our obedience. But we have to understand that now it's time for us to give up everything we thought about God that we didn't know, to get into this word and learn the truth about God. So therefore, I can walk in the power that God ordained for me to walk in. There's no situation, no circumstance that's going on in any one of your life that you cannot conquer. Nothing. Do you realize that? But you got to surrender to God. Stop wearing yourself out. I know people all around, mothers, that are wearing themselves out, working two jobs, three jobs, to get their little brat $150 Jordans. All right? Why? Because they call themselves church folks, but they ain't surrendered. First time my son DJ, and you all know DJ. First time DJ said, Dad, I need a pair of them Jordans. I said, DJ, how much they cost? He said, $150. I said, you better get a good job, son. You better get a good job, because I've surrendered to him. You understand what I mean? See, even everything that we get, see, because we get caught up in that 10% thing and think that we're doing God justice. As long as I give my 10%, I'm straight. You understand what I mean? But if you're a living sacrifice, did you ever get down on your knees and ask God what you want me to do with the other 90? Huh? Did you ever think about that? See, because we're not under obligation. We're under grace, baby. That's what he's talking about. We're not obligated to give. We do it because we love him. We pray because we love him.
I come here because I love him. I do what I do because I love him. You understand? So we have to surrender our lives so people can see the change in our life. Change is difficult, but it's necessary change. It's necessary for people to see the change in your life. And if I wanted, there's people here that went to school with me, they could tell them, that was God that definitely changed him. All right, just give a nod. I ain't got to call your name. Just give a nod. You know who I'm talking about. All right? And see, the thing of it is, God's no respecter of person. He does for me, he wants to do for you. Right? It's not that I got the special Pastor Don card that makes me preach and teach and do everything that I do. No. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives inside of you. All of you can do the same exact thing once you start believing, I can do this. All right? See, but we're trained by the world. But he said, don't be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. Instead of yelling at your kids, tell them, why you do this? Why did I tell you to do that? You need to tell them, listen, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're acting a way that's not who you are. This is who God says you are. I'll never forget, I was reading about this lady who went into Chicago, New York, and one of them bad areas as a school teacher. And when she went in there to teach the class and do everything, within 3 months, the principal came and asked her, this is crazy. We've had people in here, and in 3 months, these kids are doing their work. Their mouths have changed. He said, and everything about them is changing. What are you doing? She said, when they jump up and start acting crazy, she said, you know what I do? She said, that's what doctors do. That's what lawyers do. That's what this one do. That's what this one does. And them kids just looked at her because they never heard nothing like that before. They never heard nobody affirm them to say that you could be something greater than the way you're acting. And that's what this world is that we got. That they have never heard people tell them that you don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to sell your body. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to live the life that you're living. But it's up to us as a body of believers to put our lives on the altar of sacrifice. All right? That's what it's all about. He said, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. This is before Jesus came, the perfect sacrifice. He knew everything about sacrifice. He used to go to the temple. He knew that you had to bring the bulls, the goats, the turtle doves, and everything else for the sin offerings, this offering, that offering. All right? He knew about all that. So that's why it was easy for him to say, present yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice. The reason why he's talking about the body, because that's where your emotions, that's where your intellect, that's where your reasoning is, that's where everything, once you present your body as a living sacrifice to God, all right, the fire is coming, all right? And the fire of God speaks of three things. It speaks of the judgment of God, it speaks of the approval of God, and it speaks of the purification of God. It definitely can't be the judgment, because Jesus judged everything on Calvary. So it sure ain't that. So if you feel the fire of God in your life, it's because God is approving something in your life, or God is purifying something that's in your life. Paul understood that. When the fire comes, why? Because fire destroys stuff. Fire changes things. But we're not willing to put ourselves on the altar, and we sure ain't willing to stay there once the fire hits. And it's the situations and circumstances that you're going through that God is trying to reveal his son in your life. Because his whole purpose in Romans 8:29, that whom he foreknew, he also predestined for you to be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. You're not supposed to be conformed to this world. You're supposed to be walking, talking, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of fighting the fire, embrace the fire. Amen? Embrace the fire and be willing to say, Lord, look at yourself honestly. Come on, praise team. Look at yourself honestly. That's why the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We have to examine ourselves. Be willing to look at ourselves honestly and say, God, bring the fire, God. Bring the fire, God, to my life. Because I know this mouth does not represent you. God, I know this mind is not representing you. God, I know the actions that are in my life are not representing you, God. I know everything that I'm doing is not representing you. And I want to represent you. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit. See, sometimes you just got to get with God all by yourself and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. That's a prayer that God is going to answer every time. When you say, God, I looked in the mirror of my life, dear God, and I don't see Jesus in anything that I'm doing. It's not a condemnation, because the Bible said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So God ain't condemning you. He's just trying to get all that mess out of your life so the world could see Jesus in your life. Amen? And I know some of you have been through some terrible stuff in your childhood. And I'm not going to try to downplay the pain or anything else in them situations and circumstances. But there is a God that is greater than your pain. There is a God that's greater than your misery. There is a God that's greater than any situation that you've ever been through. And if you allow him to put his healing hand upon your life, things are going to change in your life. But you have to be the one that comes to the altar. Because he said, present your body a living sacrifice. You have to bring it. I can't bring it. I already brought my life years ago in 1994 to that altar. And I'm still bringing it each and every day of my life. Because God, if you see anything in me that ain't like Jesus, Lord, please get it out the way. That's what Paul said. He said, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. He said, that's when I preach to other people, I become a castaway. I don't want to preach to other people and miss heaven. You understand that? I have been through too much hell in my life to miss heaven. I want to hear Donald, well done. Well done, Donald, well done. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear none of that stuff. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of playing. Tired of it all, because Jesus paid it all. And God has put a great opportunity in this church, not only to help the saved, but to help other believers. There's a whole bunch of other people that call themselves Christians that are out there struggling. I run into them all the time. And they ask me all the time, how is it that you do what you do? How is it you get on them planes? How is it you do what you do? You still keep a smile on your face. And I know you got problems in your life. I know you got this going on. Because he said that he would keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind on him. That's what he said. This is a challenge to the church today. It's a challenge to King's Fire. Do you know what a blessing you're connected to? That the man of God, the set man of God, is over in another country with four of his children, left behind with his wife and the rest of the children, his mother, father, and everybody else. But guess what? Look at the power that's still resting in his house. Look at the power that's still resting in his house. What a testimony to who you are. What a testimony to the life of Christ in your life. That even when the set man of God is up out the way, that things could still go on. Why? Because it's the fellowship of believers. We are one. We are one. But the only way you're going to get what I got is sacrifice time. God's saying, tell my church, it's sacrifice time. Just like Paul said, you got to take everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and lay it on the altar of God and let him do what he's going to do. See, don't tell God how you want it. Just say, here I am, Lord. Take me, conform me, transform me, do what you got to do. But when I come out of this, I want to come out walking, talking, and acting just like Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 Woo! Hallelujah! And I just want to open up the altar today, because I truly don't believe that God would give me a word like that and there's somebody in here that don't need to lay it down. Whoever you are, come. Come. Because I know the pain is too great, and I know you've been struggling. This ain't to put you on the spot. You're amongst brothers and sisters. This is the time to lay down the burdens, like Chris was saying earlier. To lay it down. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me. Because my yoke is even, my burden is light. That stuff you've been carrying, it's time to lay it at the altar of God. And say, here it is, God. I don't know who I'm talking to. But God wants you to just to lay it all down today. Get all that weight up off your shoulders. Present yourself before him and let him do what he wants to do. Everybody just close your eyes right now. God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, oh God, that your word is so powerful, oh God. We thank you because of your Holy Spirit who takes your word, dear God, and illuminates it, oh God, that it speaks to the heart of your people, Lord Jesus. It brings correction, dear God. It brings change in our lives, oh Father. So for God, those whose hearts are burdened, those whose hearts are struggling, oh Lord, let them know that your altar is open right now, dear God. That they could come and just lay it down, not be judged, because Jesus has already been judged, dear God. It's not about judging, dear God. It's about the transformation. It's about being made whole in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, dear God, in our very being. But we must bring this body, because that's where everything rests, oh God. The same way Jesus had to take his body to the cross, we must bring our bodies to the altar today. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you have done, for all that you're doing, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.